Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, replacing garage doors for improved curb appeal and energy efficiency. Details at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Comedian Nikki Glaser's star is on the rise. That's in large part due to the widespread acclaim she received for her roast last year of quarterback Tom Brady.
Tom also lost $30 million in crypto. Tom, how did you fall for that? I mean, even Gronk was like, me know that not real money. Like, what? You know?
Glaser's latest comedy special, Someday You'll Die, broke a streaming record for HBO. And this past January, she gave a standout performance as the first woman to solo host the Golden Globes.
The bear, the penguin, baby reindeer, these are not just things found in RFK's freezer. These are TV shows nominated tonight. I do want to remind you, if you do lose tonight, please just keep in mind that the point of making art is not to win an award. The point of making art is to start a tequila brand so popular that you never have to make art again.
Just 2 months after her Golden Globes debut, the awards show announced she'd be back as host this January. While Nikki Glaser is nationally known, she continues to make her home in St. Louis. The Kirkwood High School graduate will be honored with her very own bobblehead on Monday at Busch Stadium. And in late October, she'll close out her Alive and Unwell tour at the Fox Theater in St. Louis. Our producer, Emily Woodbury, had the opportunity to speak with Nikki last week.
You said that the roast of Tom Brady changed your life. And while you did absolutely kill it, you know, people have been following you for some time, had this reaction of, well, yeah, Nikki's always been great. Like, glad to see her finally get widespread recognition for it. Is that how you see things too? That things were just aligned for you to really shine?
Yeah,
in this moment?
I think so. You know, I think I never was really, I was really comfortable with where I was in the industry. I felt like I just liked to work. So as long as I was just booking gigs and on the road and, you know, being famous or, you know, I was making good money, I just felt like, oh, this is fine. Like, you know, when I was young, I had dreams of being like an A-list celebrity. But I think once I got into the business, it was just like, oh, I'm making a living at this and I don't have to babysit and or temp. It was just like that was the goal. So I had achieved my goal. And so I think that as soon as I just letting go of that, like, what's next? I need to be more famous, and letting go of all of that and just like sticking to the work, which is just going on stage as much as possible. When that opportunity finally presented itself, when I found out, oh, there's going to be a roast and it's going to be a roast again. It had been like 5 years, you know, it had been before COVID since the last roast. It was Comedy Central and then Netflix gets the roast. And I was thinking, I don't even want to do a roast again. It's just, it hurts your feelings a lot. It's a really high stakes, high pressure situation. And I was like, maybe I can skip this one. And then I found out it was Tom Brady and I was just like, oh no, this is going to be big. And then I found out it's going to be live, and I'm like, oh, that adds an element of a challenge that just really intrigued me and, like, made me want to get it even more. And so I really fought hard to get that spot on the roast. I, like, did what I could to put my name in the running, and it was apparently already in the running. I didn't have to fight so hard. But to me, I was like, Tom Brady doesn't know who I am, like, and he's kind of producing this. So I just, I really made an effort to get it, and then I got it, and I just, I knew, I had a feeling it was going to be a huge deal. And everyone kind of retroactively was like, how did you know? And I'm like, how could it not? It's Tom Brady. Like, it was just very interesting to me that someone was doing a roast that has been really kind of shrouded from, like, public consumption of his life. I mean, there's lots of tabloid stuff, but he's not really someone who's out there. So I was like, this is more interesting than, let's say, a Justin Bieber, who's kind of, like, puts himself out there a little bit more, and Alec Baldwin, whatever it was. And it was like night and day in terms of my career. Like the next day, suddenly you're getting all the calls. People want you for things that you were never even considered for. And it's just, it was one of those moments that you hear about where you just go from, you know, you kind of turn into a household name almost, or, you know, in some houses.
And did that feeling of I don't know how I feel about roasts. They make me feel kind of like there's like a little bit of an ick factor, even though like you're so good at it. Did that go away with this roast? Did you come away feeling a bit differently this
time? The only ick factor I have is not that, you know, it's so lewd and crude and mean. Like, I kind of like that. I like that it's the one place where you can say the meanest, rudest things, like, you know, anonymous YouTube comment mean. And you can say it with your face and people knowing who you are. And it's allowed and it's celebrated. And I just think that's there's like a freedom in that of being able to say the meanest, craziest things. It was just that's always appealed to me. What doesn't appeal to me is the jokes about myself. And I felt like at the time I was still at a point where, oh, you know, I'm probably going to be the lesser known of everyone on this roast. Like, I always have been, you know, typically I've just been this, like, comedian they throw on. And people kind of say, you know, I sleep around a lot or I'm, you know, they call you horse face. Like, if you're thin, they call you a horse. If you're fat, they call you a whale. Like, it's just, I kind of knew what they were going to say about me and that doesn't really hurt my feelings. But now, like, for the next roast, I'm like, now that I'm a little bit more well-known and more of a target that people could maybe write some fodder about, now I'm like, would I do the next one? I don't know, because that's when it could get more pointed and more mean and, you know, just give ammunition to people to be mean to me, you know, because sometimes on those roasts, people wake up to like, oh, I never noticed she doesn't have a butt, or I never noticed that she has an annoying voice, or and then it just suddenly fuel to the fire of people who hate you online. And so I'm a little hesitant to do it again, but I probably would because they are just so fun. And I am good at it. Like it's my skill set of being writing really hyper specific jokes that are things that people wouldn't normally say and go, how could you say that? And so, yeah, I'd probably do it again, but I think they're so fun.
And I feel like you totally brought that energy to the Golden Globes earlier this year. But you wrote this line of, you know, you were snarky, it was biting, you kind of ribbed the audience, mm-hmm. which was the biggest celebrities
yeah.
in Hollywood.
Yes.
But you wrote this line of really, like, being very friendly about it and bringing such joy. And then you also made it fun for both the people in the room and the people watching at home, which are vastly different people.
Yeah, that was the hardest thing I've ever done is finding that line, because the roast, it's like, oh, all bets are off and it's a crowd of just, you know, normal people. I mean, there's the famous people on the stage and they're kind of, you know, you're in front of them a little bit, so you don't have to say it to their faces. The Golden Globes is like a well lit room and Angelina Jolie and Denzel Washington are staring at you. And it was scary because I also thought, oh, these celebrities, they're probably going to be really scared that I'm going to make fun of them and be really mean. And I want to let them know, like, I would never do that. This is not a roast. This is a different kind of thing. And also, Ricky Gervais had done the Golden Globes prior to me and really gone hard. And so people assumed, oh, I'm just going to do the same thing. And so it was, I'm really excited to do it again, because I think after this last one, I really bought a lot of what's the word? Like, they're not going to be as scared when I walk out because they know how far I go. I'll go far, but not too far. I'm not ruining anyone's night. So I'm looking forward to this time around because I don't have to, like, worry so much about, like, managing their feelings. Because I am a nice person. And I'm really glad that comes across of, like, I like to make jokes, but I also want desperately for everyone to like me. I mean, that is, you know, the heart of everything I do is a people-pleasing thing about me that is at my core. And people sometimes forget that about comedians because we can be so harsh that we must love when people get offended. And that's just never the way that I feel. And especially with all these celebrities who I'm just trying to feel like I even belong. I feel a little bit like, oh God, they don't even know who I am. They're thinking, who is this girl? So there was a lot of work going into setting the stage, making them feel comfortable, but also doing the job for the people at home, which is like, okay, we kind of want to see these people who think they're better than us taken down a little bit. So yeah, you had to service both.
So you are hosting the next Golden Globes yes. in January. Are you preparing for it now? Or are you thinking about what you might add to it?
No, you know what? I really don't start preparing until it's like the next thing in front of me. And I have another thing in front of me right now that is taking a lot of my brain space. And so as soon as that thing is over, of which I can't talk about, but as soon as that's over, then it's usually around right after Thanksgiving. I go, okay, now it's Golden Globes time, and I move to LA, and I am writing all day, every day, and then I'm out at different clubs every night testing out the material, and it just becomes, you know, it's the training that we do. And so it's really an allotted time. Right now I'm just watching movies and just trying to see every movie that I think could be possibly, you know, a contender.
Yeah, so that's research.
That's research.
That's work.
Yeah, it's fun.
So you've been pretty open in the past about experiencing imposter syndrome. And anyone who's been there knows that, unfortunately, you know, it does not go away once you've hit success. But have you been able to work towards more self-acceptance? How has that journey been like for you?
Yeah, I think it's something that after the roast, the roast of Tom Brady, when I had all this attention suddenly on me and people were expecting that kind of level of performance that I gave at the Tom Brady roast for every single performance I did, which just wasn't possible because I put everything into that. You know, that was my Super Bowl and people were expecting me in preseason games to play that hard. You know, I just felt like I can't rise to that occasion every single time. And I thought, oh my God, people are going to expect that of me. And it was a huge struggle, but I started doing a lot of, you know, self-work to try to combat it, reading books about imposter syndrome, trying to understand where it comes from, and trying to just focus on the things in my life that aren't my career and having those become more important to me and having my self-worth determined by that rather than what people think of me. But it is still a struggle, and I still, you know, am constantly worried about disappointing people, or it's not really people are going to figure out I'm not talented. Like I'm almost scared people I guess it is. I am scared. I'm scared that people are just at some point going to go like, she actually sucks. Like, why is she famous? And I would say, I don't know either. You know, like I work hard and I do. And what it really comes down to is I'm just trying to accept the way that I am. If I'm not as talented as I want to be, it's not because I did something wrong. It's just because I'm just not that person. You know, we can't all be Taylor Swift. And I, you know, you wish you could, or you, some people go, oh, you could work hard enough to become her. It's like, well, I don't have the capacity to work that hard sometimes. You know, like, you're just born the way you are. And it's just about trying to accept what I'm good at. And, you know, I look at other comedians that I envy of like, oh, the joke structure and the way their ability to do observational comedy, whereas I kind of excel more in like personal stuff and things that I talk about sex a lot and just taboo subjects. And I'm like, why can't I, you know, make fun of a Kleenex box or a refrigerator? Why can't I do more clean comedy? And I'll judge myself about that. And it's like, well, that's just the way I am. And you know what? Those comedians that can do clean comedy, they might not be able to do dirty comedy. I've always looked at them like, oh, they could, but they just choose not to because they're better than me. But maybe it's because they can't. You know, maybe the fact that I'm able to talk about sex so freely is not because I'm just taking the easy route or because I'm just, you know, a bad person or I'm trying to make people uncomfortable. It's like maybe that's a talent. Maybe the things that I kind of just assume are like, oh, well, that's not a talent. That's easy for me. Well, maybe that's what talent is. You know, maybe I should focus more on the things that I am good at than the things that I'm not good at. And it's just it's a daily struggle.
And also dirty comedy, I feel like it allows people to, you know, think and experience something that they feel but don't talk about with anyone else.
Yeah.
Like, I think it plays a really important role in comedy. It's like one of the things comedy does so well.
I think so too. I never really talked about it dirty stuff because I felt like, oh, that's what's going to make me popular or that's what is going to make men like me or men be titillated by me or women feel connected to me. It was just like, these are the things that I look around and I feel like no one's talking about. And I was always feeling a little bit like I wanted to know more about people's private lives. I've always been interested in the things that people aren't willing to talk about publicly and that people are ashamed of. And I think a lot of my self-esteem issues and depression and just things I've struggled with in life are all shame-based of like, I'm weird. People can't know this thing about me. And I think growing up in a house where, you know, my parents, my mom cared about outward appearance. Everyone around me seemed to, you know, growing up in Kirkwood. It's really about, like, how, you know, in St. Louis, what high school did you go to? It's about status and, like, looking perfect. And I felt like there was something wrong with me that I wasn't perfect, that I'm messy, that I can't keep a clean room, that I, you know, I have to hide these parts of myself. So when I was able to turn those things that I always felt really ashamed about into a career, it felt like I was just changing the narrative and taking control of this thing that I felt really wounded by my whole adolescence. And even now, it's like there are some things that I still have deep shame over, of just being kind of a messy person. That's one of the things that I've recently let go of and stopped trying to be a clean girl and stop trying to have my house always tidy. And it's like I'm doing my best. If I could clean, if I liked cleaning, I would. I know that some people are like, well, I don't like cleaning, I just have to do it. I can't do it. I don't know what's wrong with me. I literally can't do it. And so then I read a Barbara Streisand documentary, and she or a biography, and she said in it that she – autobiography. She said when she was young, she hated making her bed, and she said, I just want to be successful enough that someone else makes my bed for me. And I'm not there yet, but I liked that it was – that little, like, tidbit about someone I admire, Barbara Streisand, she also doesn't make her bed and is kind of messy. Oh, that made me feel so free. Like, Barbara Streisand is messy? And so if I could ever give that feeling to a girl who might feel flawed, and then they look at me and go, Nikki Glaser also has a messy car? Oh, okay, I guess I'm not so bad. Like, that's the what I want to give people.
You mentioned working on things outside of your career. Has a lot of that been living in St. Louis, which you moved here in 2020. It was kind of a pandemic era move.
Yeah.
And you're still here. You're living here.
Yeah, absolutely it is. It's just wanting to focus on my family while they're still around and healthy and want to hang out with me. And also just being in a town where, you know, what podcast you are, what spots you're doing that night, what parties you're going to, what red carpets you're attending, doesn't matter. You know, that's not here, and that's not what people value here. And it just recalibrates me when I'm on both of the coast. It's like constantly comparing yourself, and everyone's just really chasing that status. And here, it just feels a bit more relaxed, and I get back to, oh, like, what's important here is, like, having a good time and going out to eat. Yeah, I just know that that's really what makes me happy in life is being with my family and being around my niece and nephews as they grow up and spending time with my parents. I'm obsessed with my parents, and so yeah, I love living in St. Louis and coming back here. I don't think I'll ever leave. Really, it just feels right, and I just forget about the drudgery of show business that is like can really attack your self-esteem, and in a way that I cannot manage sometimes. If I'm there too long, I start thinking about what can I do to my face, what my body's not good enough, I don't like the way I dress, even my luggage doesn't look nice enough to be rolling down the sidewalk. Like, here I just don't think about that. It's not because no one cares about nice things here, they do. It's just it calms my nervous system being here.
You know, I frame that question as you're focusing on things outside of comedy, but I have to imagine that just living life is informing your comedy.
Yeah. I think so. I think people, you know, touring the country doing stand-up, people do like to hear about celebrities' lives, and we're all fascinated by that. But, you know, it's not really relatable, and I like to be relatable. That's what I've always liked in celebrities is when they're just like us, you know? You know, that's always been my favorite part of Us Weekly is the celebrities are just like us. So I want to keep it real, but it's not even like I have to try. It's kind of who I am. And I like feeling normal. I like feeling like I'm not that I go to the coast and I feel like everyone's looking at me or knows who I am. I forget that I'm in show business here, and it's nice to do, because you don't want to take your work home with you. Like, that's the goal, is to just have work be work. And to be able to leave it. And in L.A. and New York, I can't put it down. There's always, like, a club set to go do, you know. There's always a podcast to jump on. There's always just something going on. And here I can just you know, have a day of going to a workout class, playing with my dogs, going out to dinner with my parents, and it just doesn't even, yeah, I don't even think about it. And so, and, you know, sometimes I don't even think about comedy at all. I've been on a 2-week hiatus here, and I haven't written anything. And all of that, the relaxation actually is good for my comedy because it just allows me to not just be gripping so hard all the time and be able to, yeah, like live life and maybe write about my adventure at the park or whatever it is. You know, you have to live a life.
So you're on hiatus now, but yeah. You're headed back to the road for your Alive and Unwell tour, which will end in October with 2 sold-out shows at the Fox Theater in St. Louis. Doing comedy for a St. Louis audience, do you find it's very different for how you approach your sets in other cities?
Yeah, because it's a lot more pressure. I know you just whenever you know people in the room, whether it's someone you might run into at the grocery store or your mom's best friend or your dad's tennis partners or, you know, whatever it is, it's just there's like an added pressure of, oh, there's a lot riding on this. Like my dad has to go to tennis next week and like have conversations with these people and I don't want to embarrass him and I just want everyone to have a good time. I want everyone. There's more at stake. You know, when I'm performing in Baltimore, I leave the next day. And if they didn't like it, okay, well, I don't have to really face them. But here it's like I have to live with what I just did and live amongst it. So, yeah, there's always an added pressure. That's when people ask me, do you ever get nervous? The real answer is I only get nervous when there's people in the room who I know. Whether it's like a celebrity might drop in, like that always makes me nervous of like, oh, there's like some guy in the back that I've watched since I was a little kid on TV. Like they're going to, when you know who's in the room, it makes it more heightened. But I've performed in St. Louis so many times at this point in different theaters that I think now I feel like, oh, I have like a sturdy fan base here. And this isn't like the first time that I'm showing up as like, I'm a star, look at me. And so I feel like people have accepted it and they are on board with it. And I'm not having to convince anyone because there's a part of you, the hometown girl, that just feels like, I'm not a star. Like, these people are going to, like, roll their eyes at, who do you think you are up there? But I think that, I don't know, I feel like I just feel like people are, like, proud of me here. And that's just a really sweet feeling. Like, I just feel like people are really friendly and, like, get almost, like, sentimental and emotional about my success. And they're rooting for me. It's not this, like, oh, she thinks she's better than us. She made good in Hollywood. Like, they're like, go, girl. Like, I just feel an immense amount of support, whereas I think I was projecting more of maybe what I would feel if someone from St. Louis, like, from my high school came back and was like, I'm a big Hollywood. I would have been like, who does she think? Like, I was projecting that, and that's not how they feel. It's, like, so supportive. So I'm actually really looking forward to these shows, especially at the – I did the Fox on my last tour, and, you know, I think sold it out, but was a struggle to sell it out. And this time it was 2 shows – really no struggle to sell it out. So I feel like people are just like pumped and I'm really, really excited. And I'm excited for it to be the last shows. That means it's going to be like the best of my tour because, you know, your best work always happens at the end because you've culminated all this experience and all these reps and the jokes are just going to be in the right places. I'm not going to be like really working anything out. It's just going to be like the best of the best that night. So it couldn't be happening on a better time for St. Louis.
And you're also going to be here September 1st. I should say you're here in and out all the time.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
Officially,
yes.
You'll be here for Nikki Glaser's day at Busch Stadium.
Yes, yes.
Those attending the Cardinals game will receive a Cardinals-themed Nikki Glaser bobblehead.
They will.
You know, this is all your success culminated in this moment. This is what you did it for, right?
You would not believe. I posted yesterday on my Instagram about it, and there's a picture of the bobblehead. And I have received so many more texts and DMs from my friends and fans than ever before of like, dude, this is you've made it. Like, this is a new level of success unlocked with no irony. They're like, this is it. And especially like a lot of, you know, sports fans and collectors and people like that are like, this is a big deal. And I was kind of embarrassed at first. Like, there's going to be a bobblehead. Like, kids are going to be confused. Like, who is this lady? And, you know, and I'm the first female bobblehead they've ever done. And so I feel like, you know, I always feel a little bit nervous entering into, like, the sports worlds and where I am not really, you know, I've been to so many Cardinals games, but I am not, like, a huge sports fan. So I always feel like kind of a fraud. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is embarrassing. Like, no one wants to give me a bobblehead, but I just, like, let it happen. You know, like, I'm not fighting it. I'm a little bit fighting the first pitch, which I've done before. And they had Nikki Glaser Day, I think, in, like, 2022. And I threw out the first pitch, and I didn't do a good job. And I had practiced so hard, and I just flubbed it. And it, like, ruined my whole day there because I was just so embarrassed. And I felt like everyone that practiced with all the men in my life who had practiced with me and, like, taught me the right stance and the right positioning and the windup and everything you're supposed to do, I, like, it all evaporated from my mind when I got out there. And I just felt embarrassed. And then the whole rest of the game, I was just like, oh, no, is that going to wind up online? Am I going to be, like, a part of those compilations of the worst first pitches? And so this time around, I'm like, do I do a first pitch again? Like, I want to have a really good day, and I don't want it to start with having everyone be like, what the heck was that? And just so, but I might do it because it's just, like, it's fun, and I need to not put so much import on it and just be like, okay, it is what it is. If it's bad, it should be bad. I'm not an athlete. And if it's good, wow, great. But I'm just trying to be a little bit more open to the day and all the attention that comes with it. Because I really did it because they're donating to the St. Louis Stray Rescue. And, you know, when someone wants to give you a gift, like, hey, we're going to have a Nikki Glaser Day, it's like, who am I to turn that down? Like, this isn't something I begged for. This isn't something I asked for, or, like, my team got together and was like, we need to do this. Like, this was something that was offered to me from the Cardinals as just, like, our hometown girl, we love you. And I'm just trying to accept it and not fight it, even though I kind of am like, oh, my God, that's so many bobbleheads. And so, like, it's just... And bobbleheads are, you're like, no one looks good on a bobblehead. It's like a caricature. It kind of like says, it's like, it's not the greatest representation.
Cute.
It's fine. It's so cute. It really, I actually really love it, but it's, I'm a little like, just like embarrassed, not embarrassed. Cause I want to say it, like, I'm so honored, but there is a part of me that's like, do I deserve, the imposter syndrome is rearing its ugly head big time with Nikki Glaser Day, but I'm going to have the best day because it's going to be all my family and friends and inviting a ton of people. So I hope it's a great day at the park.
Well, I hope it is, too. And I'm glad to hear you're considering throwing the pitch again, because the last time we talked in 2022, you talked about how, you felt really bad. But then, you know, a few days later when we talked, you were like, you know what? No, I try things. Sometimes I fail at them.
Yes.
You know, like, that's actually really dope.
That's kind of my brand. You know, like, I think I have to do it. And my whole thing is like, I just want to make people not disappointed in me. That's kind of like what keeps me going. And when there's like, the men in my life who care about first pitches and are like, well, you got to do it this way and like work with me. I'm like scared I'm going to disappoint them. It's like, you know, that's mainly what it's about. I could care less, but, I'm going to let all of that go and let everyone know, like, this might be bad and we're still going to have a good day.
Nikki, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Emily. It's fun.
That's comedian Nikki Glaser talking with producer Emily Woodbury. The St. Louis resident and Kirkwood High School graduate will get her very own bobblehead this Monday at Nikki Glaser Day at Busch Stadium. And Glaser will close out her Alive and Unwell tour at the Fox Theater in St. Louis in late October.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see Time is of the essence.
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.